There's just so many things that are like outside the box that I think we want to paint ourselves into a box. And instead of being like, how is everyone else doing it? And that's why I'm so adamant about having that high commission fee, because I want people to see me as the artist and I want people to pay me up front to just have me. Because if I'm only doing two sessions a month, I can only do so many sessions a year. I want them to want to work with me that badly that they're going to pay that up front.
Welcome to the Motherhood Anthology Podcast, photography education for a business you love. My name is Kim Box, and I'm your host with the collaboration and help of my co-hosts and business partners at the Motherhood Anthology, Jenny Kruger and Allison Craig. If you like our podcast, we think you'll love our membership. Enrollment only opens a few times a year, and that's coming up very soon. If you want us to let you know as soon as the doors are open, head over to themotherhoodanthology.com and join our wait list. You'll be the first to know. Shannon, before we start officially, for the two or three that might be listening that don't know who you are, reintroduce yourself, please.
I am Shannon Griffin. I am based in Palm Beach, so South Florida, and I service Miami up to Jupiter. And I focus primarily on boudoir and families, but my intention and my why is always helping women feel seen. So most of my clients are mothers. And the age range is probably mid-30s to mid-40s is most of my clients are in that range. Yeah, I used to be a wedding photographer. And then in 2020, I ventured out of that. It was time for me to leave that area. I still do about one wedding a year. I don't have anything on the books this year, but it just works out that I somehow end up doing about one wedding a year still that I just can't say no to. Motherhood, boudoir, that's my primary focus.
Okay, so feel like today's going to be a bit of a coffee talk. I have my cup
Love
here.
It. I have
I
coffee
feel
in
like
front of me.
I just want us to have a good conversation, and I'm sure we're going to talk about a lot of things, but we have to talk. Okay, let me back up two steps. Your very first podcast episode with you here was, I think, titled like My $38,000 Sale. So if you haven't listened, you should go back because wow.
I
But
think it was like a week or two after, like it had just like we had our podcast scheduled and then that happened. And then I was like, guys, guess what?
Okay. Even better, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, you posted in our group again that you had, I'm gonna let you even say the number. You had
All right,
another
I'm going.
Really big sale. Tell
it was
everybody.
$25,513.50. Plus I didn't also include my $14.50 commission fee. So it's $27,000. Sale, which I'm very happy about. Very. I needed it. Mommy needed to pay her bills. So,
well, I think that leaves a lot of us speechless. Are you speechless? Are you shocked when that happens? Is this normal?
I'm still shocked. I honestly think having that 40,000 sale that happened in 2020, it made me less shocked, but I'm still like, yes, I still. Even when I have a $10,000 sale, I'm still like, oh my God, like being your own social proof is huge because for so long I had people that I still look up to. There are still people making bigger numbers than me out there. To be your own social proof was so life-changing for me. And what it did was so beautiful because now I go into each session saying, it's not crazy if someone spends this with me. And so I'm mentally prepared. And I go into every ordering session saying, they're going to spend this much with me. And so when it does happen, it is a shock, but it's also like, I told my husband about it and he did it. He was excited, but I was like, how are you not like jumping off the walls? And he's because I'm like, this is how it should be. This should be the standard. And so he's, I want you to get to a point where that's the normal. Like the normal is that you have a 25. And I'm like, oh God, that's a lot of pressure. But it's true. He's such a great support and he sees more in me than I see in myself, which is beautiful. But I'm trying to get to that point where it rolls off my tongue and it's a normal thing to say, yeah, a $25,000 sale. But yes, it's still, I cried. It still hits me. And it's, yes, it's a number thing, but it's also solidifying that I'm doing the right thing, that my process works. And then I am working with clients who really see me as an artist and will pay me to just take over and do what I do best. And that to me is so beautiful and freeing and why I'm doing it this way. And I can never go back. Even when I have hard months, when you know that someone will spend that on you, how do you go back? Like I can't lower my prices even if I'm having a hard month, because I'm like, no, people will spend it. So you just have to find those people.
Every time we talk, Shannon, I feel like I need to say this disclaimer, and I want you to correct me. I feel like I know what you're going to say, but do you feel like those numbers are so big for so many people listening? Do you feel like that you are able to get those numbers because of your market?
Yes, I do. I think I was saying that Jenny and I have talked about this, and we may have touched on it in the first podcast, but moving back down to South Florida in 2018 from Tallahassee. Tallahassee is a very small market. I've struggled to get people to pay just my simple prices. And so I thought, oh, I'm moving into a very wealthy market. People are going to pay my prices without wincing. And so I was concentrating on the wrong things, thinking that my ideal clients and maybe were socialites and old money and all of this stuff. And what was happening is I was finding a lot of these clients that were like multimillionaires were so used to having photographers that like gave them everything for like $250. And that a lot when you get into the influencer world or the wealthy world where people, photographers think, oh, this is my dream client. I'm going to give them a free session so that I can put it in my portfolio so that they tag me. So they really get used to getting things for free or little cost. Or a lot of them really value the name of things or showy things. And so something that they're going to put in their home that not many people are going to see, they're looking at going, why would I spend a lot of money on this? I put my value in my expensive car. I put my value in my designer clothes. So while I do think that it does have something to do with it, I still have to be very intentional about my client base. I still get a lot of no's from people who could absolutely afford me. And I don't want to go off on a tangent, but anyone who sees me post in these groups knows that I am so about setting yourself apart and being different. And I know of photographers in very small towns and communities that have people travel to them to do photo sessions. So I'm all about offering something unique and different and of value, to where even if you don't have this community around you that has a bunch of wealth, what can you do to set yourself apart where people will travel to you? People with money will come to you to work with you. My second thing is, how close is the closest biggest city? Is it 2 hours away? Can you drive? Can you market there and get clients there? So while I do think that I have an advantage and someone might have to work a little bit harder to find those clients, I definitely think that people are selling themselves short if they're like, I just live in a small town and no one's going to pay that, because it's not true. And I've seen other people do it.
Let's say someone's listening and they're seeing the numbers, 38.5, 25,000. I think I saw you posted, you did a $10,000 sale recently, a family session. Yeah. Is that your average? What would you say? Are those like, even
yeah, my average is between 85 and 10. That's 8,500 and 10,000 is my sweet spot, my average. I don't typically go below like 8,000.
And how often are you shooting?
Not that often. That's the thing that I don't want people, like we talk about, people are like, make this in a year and do this, do that. I don't have that many clients yet. I think last year, honestly, I had 5 to 6 clients. It wasn't anything crazy, but
how wonderful is that?
It is wonderful. And I know for a lot of people, it's, oh my God, but I'm making what I want to make. I still, again, want to make more. I want to have a big amount of money for my daughter, but that's a whole other story. So my goal is to have 2 a month. That's my goal. I know mentally I can't do more than 2 a month, but I'm not quite there yet. And so I've talked about this when I got pregnant with Maeve. We were still in COVID. So I didn't leave my house. I was so frightened of getting sick. So I didn't attend any networking events. I wasn't talking to anybody. And then after I had her, I'd say the first 18 months, I was in a pretty deep depression and I was still breastfeeding and I was lost. And so I didn't leave my house and I didn't network and I didn't talk to people. So I'm finally I'd say about 6 months ago, I finally was like, okay, my goal is to get out there, go to any event that I can. She's not breastfeeding anymore, so I know I can go in the evenings. My husband can take care of her. So I'm finally getting back to that point. And with anything, say the 18-month rule, like you have to plant seeds. So it's going to take time. I'm very positive in the mindset that I'm going to get there. But right now, I'm planting those seeds and meeting with people and having coffee and going to events and stuff like that.
So you talked about being different. Can we brainstorm that for a second? Because we hear people say that a lot. Like, you got to be different to stand out. And you don't want to, so often we follow so many other photographers and we feel, I don't know if we feel like we need to do what everyone else is doing, or we're just maybe inspired to do what everyone else is doing because you see so much beautiful work around you. But like, if you are coaching someone and they're like having a hard time getting bookings, they're not charging what they should be charging, what can they do to set themselves apart? How would you brainstorm with them to be different?
I think it really depends on the person themselves, what their goal is in their business, kind of their surroundings and what they could do differently. I can give you a couple of examples of people that I've actually mentored. There is someone who, and I think I commented to someone the other day that was talking about this, how they're like, I live in a small town and I'm just not really sure how I could charge that. My big thing is, okay, talk about you're on a big piece of property. Do you have a shed space? Do you have a space? Is your spouse handy? Is there a place on your property that you could build a studio? My big thing is thinking outside of the bounds of, okay, you could have people travel to you. What if you did a holistic approach? What if you had this beautiful space on your land and you made it an all-inclusive thing as to, I'm going to take on five clients a year, 10 clients a year. They come to my property. They stay the weekend. I have a yoga instructor come out. I have a personal chef come out. They get to stay on the property. They get to see my animals or whatever else it is. And then while we're there, we do a gorgeous photo session that lasts a couple of hours. It's catered. We're going to have fun. I'm going to have hair and makeup come out. Thinking outside, what if you're the photographer that has this thing where a woman gets to go and it's like her own personal retreat for a weekend? And where I think people get hung up is it's how can I charge for that? No one would pay that. And I bet you 5 to 10 people in the world would pay that. You only have to find a certain amount of people that see the world the way you see it and believe in the art that you're creating, and they're going to buy into it. And so I think if you have something that you're really passionate about that sets you apart, then you run with it. Also, thinking of different ways to market yourself. Is there a way that you can put a video on your website that's showing you photographing and going through your studio space? And there's no sound, but it's like slow-mo, and it's the first thing people see when they come onto your website. Not many people are doing that. A lot of people have, here's me shooting, and I'm behind the scenes on a certain part of the website. But it's like, what if you open a website and it's a slow-mo of you like walking through this beautiful field of flowers? There's just so many things that are like outside the box that I think we want to paint ourselves into a box. And instead of being like, how is everyone else doing it? And that's why I'm so adamant about having that high commission fee, because I want people to see me as the artist and I want people to pay me up front to just have me. Because if I'm only doing two sessions a month, that I can only do so many sessions a year. So it's, I want them to want to work with me that badly that they're going to pay that up front. So what if you, I have something that I like put out there, but I'm thinking about doing it again. And it starts at $20,000 and I would only offer it to five clients. And it's, you get a custom album where I work with the album designer and we make it fully custom for you, a videographer who does a video of your family session or boudoir session, and then interviews all of your family. And then you get an art credit toward more art. And so that feels so exclusive. That feels so, okay, she's only offering this up to five clients. And if I was already going to spend this much, why wouldn't I do something like that? So I just think thinking of ways that you can offer value and you charge for it.
With that offer that you're thinking, like, how do you market that?
So
Like,
I think
okay.
for the way that I did it, I didn't really market it. What I did was I went back to some of my highest paying clients. And I was just like, hey, I'm only offering, this is like word of mouth and I'm not opening up to everyone. I'm just offering it to up to five people. And I thought of you. I only emailed two people. I stopped. I do that sometimes. I like need to take my own advice. So I think it's something where if you have an idea, there may be someone that you're thinking of. It may be something where if you have some like interior designers or realtors or anyone that you're thinking of that you could be like, hey, are there any clients that you think would love something like this? So I think that's the other thing is just like networking outside of your field. Like so many people follow other photographers. So many people listen to other photographers, but those aren't the people getting you business. Who's going to get you business? So I follow a lot of interior designers. I follow a lot of architects. I follow a lot of realtors because these are people who are working for my ideal clientele. I go to events where they're speaking on a panel and I ask them questions and we follow each other and we have conversations. So there's so many ways that you can think outside of the photography world and put yourself out there.
What do they say? Sometimes you have to, I always butcher a quote, but it's if give me a tree to cut down and I'll spend the first hour sharpening the saw or something like that. I think we're just like, and I definitely have been there. You're not charging enough to be able to really slow down and regroup. And so it's, I just got to keep shooting.
Yes.
But sometimes I think if you're able, you've got to take a beat and step back and look at things and go, okay, if I can't continue this pace at this price and I want to do this new thing that no one else is doing, you've got to step back and kind of plan that and do something different. But
and I think it was in the community, it wasn't in the membership, someone commented about, I know a lot of people do motherhood events, and I don't know if you saw this, it was only a couple of days ago. But she's like, can you give me all the specifics? What do you, this, that, with the studio? And that's the other thing is, and I've been guilty of this. So I actually got a client through when I first moved down here, something called Let's Get Social is just starting. And it's for women entrepreneurs and they just added men. But it was something where they would hold events like five times a year. And I emailed them and I said, I would love to be a member. And like, okay, it was only like $150 for the year. But she was like, hey, we need a photographer for our events to photograph the events. How about we give you a membership and you photograph the events? And I was like, okay, great. That's a great way for me to be seen, to network. Here's the deal though. When you go to these events, you're working. I didn't talk to a single person when I was photographing the event. It was just like photographing a wedding. I was there to keep my head down. I photographed the event and then I went home. And I was like, okay, I would have much rather paid the fee and gone to these five events and sat next to these women who are some of my ideal clients. They're in the Palm Beach area. They own their own businesses. They're designers. They're fashion, all this stuff. So my other thing is thinking of ways where you don't devalue yourself as a photographer. I don't want to be seen as the photographer working the event. I want to be seen as the artist who's standing next to you having a cocktail and talking about our children. That's how I want to be seen. With the motherhood event, I was like, what if, because I know for me in my process, because she was talking about photographing women in 10 minutes of just getting a few quick, beautiful photos of them so they have a photo to take with them. And my thing is, I understand that. I understand many sessions. I understand all of that. And again, this is also personal. But for me, my whole why and my whole process is that women are so isolated and invisible and no one spends time doting over them. And the reason I'm able to get these photos that I get in my portfolio is because I spend so much time with each woman that I photograph and knowing her on a deep level. So it wouldn't work for me. It goes against everything that I'm preaching of why they're spending so much money with me to be like, but I could still get a beautiful photo of you in 5 minutes. It's, well, which one is it? And so what if you have a motherhood event where you don't pull your camera out? What if you open up your studio to moms who just really need a community and you have someone there? What if you have a sex therapist? What if you have a pelvic floor therapist? What if you have a yoga instructor? What if you have these people come talk on a panel and these moms just get to come and just be? They can come in sweatpants, they can have some wine, and they can just have networking at the end where they meet other women. And then You're going to absolutely get clients from that, but you're not devaluing what you do in your process, and you're not devaluing how much money someone spends on you for a session. And you can even get up and be like, this is why motherhood photography is so important to me. Talk for 5 minutes and then be like, let's open the floor. Does anyone have any questions? So I think we so much want to just be like, well, I have my camera in my hand. I can do this. But it's, are you devaluing yourself? Are you devaluing your message? And are people going to see you as the authority and the expert in your field if you show up as the one who's just working the event? So I think that's another way you can switch mindset on who do you want to be in the room to these people? And for me, I want to be the artist that they want to come have in their home. That's who I want to be.
Hey friends, are you in search of something special to set your portraits apart? If you are, I'm excited to share Willow Canvas with you. Willow Canvas is a mother-owned company that creates beautiful hand-painted fine art backdrops. Willow Canvas offers a wide range of sizes to fit your space, whether you're traveling or in the studio. Each Willow Canvas is soft and neutral with a texture and tone that will complement your branding. Sarah, the artist behind Willow Canvas, is one of our favorites. She's so sweet and kind and dedicated to delivering personalized customer service with 3 ordering options: ready to ship, custom, or pre-order based on your chosen hues and textures. All of us at the Motherhood Anthology absolutely love Willow Canvas for its amazing customer service, beautiful colors, and exceptional quality. Discover the magic of Willow Canvas by heading over to their website, willowcanvasbackdrops.com. Browse their beautiful galleries and start creating the perfect backdrop for your photography. Find them on Instagram at willow_canvas or visit willowcanvasbackdrops.com. And don't forget to join their email list for 10% discount on your purchase, and for our listeners, free shipping while this airs. I think to do all the things that you're talking about, and I think if you go through most of the problems or posts inside of the membership, I would say 90% of it comes down to just mindset and just believing in yourself and believing you can do these things and believing people will pay. Have you always been confident? Like, how did you come to the place that you are to think you, because it sounds like you're pretty confident that you could do most anything you want to. Is that true?
I don't know. It's so
depending weird. On the day, maybe.
Yeah, the day, depending on what you're talking about. So it's so hard for me because we've talked about, I deal with a lot of depression. I deal with a lot. I've had anxiety my whole life. Like since I was 13, I was in the ER for so many panic attacks. I don't know why. I didn't have a horrible childhood. I didn't have a lot of trauma. I don't know why I am this way. It could be ADHD. I have no idea. I haven't been diagnosed. So I think there are things in my life that I flounder on and I get paralyzed with decisions sometimes. But there's something about, I think that's why I'm so in love with what I do, because it's the only place where I can breathe fully. Like when I show up to a session and I start photographing a woman, I don't think about anything else. Like it's the only place in my life where I don't think about, and I don't even think about my daughter. I don't think about bills. I don't think about the laundry. I don't think about anything. And I can't say that there's anything else in my life that's like that. So for me, I want to demand that out of myself. I want that beautiful life where I get to create in the way that I want to create. And I don't want to apologize for it. And I want to demand it. I want to say, no, this is the way that I'm going to do it. And I'm going to find people that want me to do it this way and are going to pay me a lot of money for it. So I think it's because I have, maybe because I have a fear of death. I have a fear of finality that I'm just like, I get one life. And so many people wake up every day and hate their job and hate going to work. And I get to wake up going, woo, I get to do this today. Who do I get to talk to today? Who do I get to get coffee with? Who do I get to photograph? Whose life can I impact in a positive way? And I think that's what it is. I just think that I'm not willing to go back or do anything else. It's just, I don't know what else I would do. That's the other part of it. Like I've been doing photography since I was 16. I went to school for it. Like what would I do if I didn't do this? Like I'm not qualified. What am I qualified for? Who's going to hire me? So there's parts of it that are also survival. Like it's a want and it's also like a hard survival.
Even the phrase for me, mindset work, is not something that used to be in my vocabulary, but I'm learning. But what would you or do you have suggestions for people that maybe just are lacking the confidence? Like, where would you suggest that people
I
start?
think for me, it was a lot. I listened to a lot of podcasts and I read a couple of books when I was going through it and changing my business around. And I'm happy to post this stuff in the group. I have some recommendations and I think we've talked about it before a little bit and I may have posted it before, but I'm happy to share. A lot of it is having, I have a lot of me time. Like I really do. And I know that's a privilege, but again, at 7 months, that's why I decided to put Maeve in full-time daycare because I need that mental space to be able to work on my mindset. I am not a good mom when she's home with me every day. And I'm not good at my business when she's home with me every day. And I know that not everybody gets that space, but it's crucial for me. When she was around 7 months, I looked at my husband and I was like, like, it's either I leave this family, like I'm driving to Mexico and I'm never coming back, or we have to figure out a solution. Like she's either going to daycare or we're getting a nanny. So I think a lot of that is just having the time. I go on a 2 mile walk every weekday by myself and I listen to my podcast. And I don't know, I come in these groups and I get so inspired by the other women in the TMA group and just seeing how excited everybody is. Like truly, even people who are scared are just, I want this so badly. And to me, that's invigorating. To me, to be in a community where people love what they do so much that they're like, I have to make this work because I love this so much. That helps my mindset. Having these big sales and being social proof helps my mindset. There's so much to it, but really not having burnout and being able to have the time to think and get creative. That truly has been my biggest get out of my way mindset shift is just that's, I set my boundaries. I can't have more than 2 clients a month because once I start going over that, the mindset stuff's going to start coming in. And I'm gonna get fatigue and feel guilt. And so, yeah, I think it's a lot of different facets.
I think too, that's the beauty of the community. And I know that sounds like a sales pitch, but it's absolutely the truth that I think Kristen Sweeting said it, and I've quoted her multiple times for this, that most times you can't cure your mindset on your own. It's about the people that you surround yourself with.
Yes.
And just seeing what other people are doing and knowing that it's possible is what makes you believe in yourself. If they can do it, I can do it too.
Yep. I had that social proof before I had my big sale. And that's why I was like, this is so scary, but I've seen someone do it. So let me try. And then it happened for me. So now every session I'm like, okay, let me try. And now it's fun. I have a family session coming up on Saturday and they were actually a winner from I donated and they won and I'm like already I'm already know I have their session on Saturday and in my head I keep saying $35,000 sale, 35,000, like I keep, and they don't have to spend any money with me. They're getting 2 free 8x10 prints and 2 free files, but I know they're gonna want more than that. And so in my head I'm like 35,000, 30. So it's fun. It's not scary to me anymore. It's okay, what can I get this time? How much can I get this time? How much wall art are they gonna buy? And it starts to become a little game with myself.
We've both shot weddings and I think that being in the wedding industry is a really good teacher for just teaching you that money is relative, because I remember when I first started and charged nothing for a wedding and then gradually inched our way up. And then I remember like charging $5,000 for a wedding and being ashamed to even say that to them, that because I felt so guilty about it. And then like booking a $10,000 wedding and then looking back and going, golly, I should have been charging this the whole time. Why did I spend so many years? Money, like what is a lot of money to me is not a lot of money to someone else. Or maybe what was a lot of money to me then is not a lot of, it's just, we live in our own little bubble. And sometimes we forget to look outside and go, everybody's got a $1,200 phone in their back pocket, even junior high kids.
It's what people value. Like I said, there's going to be multimillionaires who don't value photography. And then there's going to be people who do and will save up for it. It just comes back to what people put value in. And I used to be angry about it. I used to be like, they could afford me. They're in a $6 million house. And then I started, why am I getting angry about what someone values or doesn't value? That's not my person. That's just not my person. That's okay. It's all right.
What did they buy, the latest, the $25,000 sale? What did they buy?
So I have it in front of me. She got a wall. She's doing like a big wall gallery on one of her walls in her bedroom. She got three 12 by 16 frame prints, two 20 by 22 frame prints, and two 26 by 22 frame prints. And so those were seven photos, but she had favorited 50. And so the 42 that were left, she's doing in two separate linen boxes. So two separate museum cases. There's going to be 21 in each. But yeah. And then she'll get the corresponding digital. So she'll get the 50 digitals that go with it.
And I know if you go back and listen to the earlier podcast, it's all about how you walk a client to a sale like that. But can you summarize just a little bit about your process with a client that gets to a sale, that takes them to a sale like that?
Absolutely, absolutely. The first, I think it starts from the initial email when they inquire. I send them my process page, and my process page just goes some pretty pictures in there, a little bit about what their experience is going to be like. And then it goes line for line. Okay, we have the discovery call. I'm going to get to know. So in that, the first line about the discovery call, I put in there, so it sets them up in their mind. I say that I'm going to get to know what their needs are, and I'll put together a realistic proposal based on that. So that's pretty much saying, I don't have collections. I can't tell you how much you're going to spend. We're going to talk, and then I'm going to let. So then it says, we're going to have your actual session, and then we'll come back for the ordering session. It does have my commission fee on there, $1,450. So that $1,450 is where a lot of people, when they see my process page, they ghost me, or they're just like, that's more than I was looking to spend. So the ones that go through and are like, yes, I would love to learn more, let's set up the discovery call. I send them a questionnaire. The questionnaire has a lot of questions, and at the bottom, it just lets them know, okay, this is where matted prints start, this is where albums start, and this is where framed arms art starts. People might end up spending $40,000 and fill their home with art. What is your plan investment? And then there's a drop down. And I do put on there, if you're planning on filling your walls with art, select the 10,000 plus investment. So here's the thing. It's like a lot of this in pricing is so much positioning and mindset and just like getting thoughts in their head to begin with. So what this does is no one, like it rarely anyone picks over my lowest option in the drop down, because people just aren't going to do that. They're not going to be like, I'm going to tell her I'm going to spend $20,000. So even when they pick, when I ask how they're going to enjoy their art, even if they pick wall art and an album, they still pick the lowest. But what it does is they start to see, oh, she does 10,000 plus. Like that's a normal thing for her. So what happens is 100% of the time, if they've gotten to the discovery call, they book me. Because by this point, they've seen what my commission fee is, and then they see that they're going to spend at least $3,000 for my 10 matted print collection. Like they're going to spend at least that. So they're already comfortable. Even if they get on the phone, they're not expecting that they're going to spend $25,000, but they know they're at least going to spend, what is it, four 3,000 plus 1,450. So they're going to spend at least $4,500 with me. But they're getting on the phone call knowing that. So I go in the phone call fully confident at this point, because I already know they're going to spend at least $4,500 with me, which to me is still a great sale. We get on the phone, we go over all the questions. So this is the key point right here. Like this woman, I'm going to use her as an example. She had told me that she was comfortable spending between 3,000 and 5,000. When I got on the phone with her, I was like, look, I know that you put this, but you also put that you probably wanted an album and possibly some wall art. And I need to be realistic with you. You're going to be closer. We're looking at least $10,000, like bare minimum. You're probably going to be closer to 15,000. And she's okay, do I have to like know now? And I'm like, absolutely not. No, you don't have to know now. How could you know what you're going to want? You haven't even seen the photographs yet, but I need you to know that this is probably what you're going to be closer with. So I said, I'm going to send you my full investment guide. I want you to look over everything. And then if you want to move forward, reach out to me and I'll send the invoice and contract. So the next day she's, I absolutely want to move forward. And so we did her session. Before her ordering session, I again sent my full investment guide. I said, I want you to look over it again so that you're fully prepared when we get on the phone and you're not surprised when I show you your wall galleries. And so I had gone over to her. She was having trouble taking the photos herself. She lives 10 minutes from me. So I was like, let me come over after your kids go to school. I'm going to photograph your walls. And so I did. And then during her ordering session, I showed her a couple of different options. And there was one that she really loved. And there were three that she loved. And she's like, okay, tell me the price of this one. And I'm telling her the numbers. I'm like, okay, this one's $17,000. But if you get the next one, there's less photos, but they're bigger. So that one's $19,000. And she was like, she was not oohing or aahing or gagging or anything because she was so prepared for this. I had prepared her. I mentally prepared her. And so by the end of it, I was like, okay, here's your total. And so all she had to do was she had picked her 50 favorites, but she just wanted to confirm the 7 that she like wanted to see on her wall every day. And so I sent her a little proof sheet that at this price point, my clients are not screenshotting. They're not taking photos. It's a proof sheet. It's tiny. She's not going to be able to do anything with it. And my clients don't want to do it themselves. They don't know how to do it themselves. So when I sent it to her, I said, I'm going to give you 4 days because she gets paralysis like me on decisions. And so she's okay. And this was me knowing her. All of this comes back to me getting to know her. She had told me that she has problems making decisions. And I said, okay, I'm going to light a fire under you. You've got 4 days. I'm going to check back in. And so it was on a Wednesday, Tuesday or Wednesday, but we spent about 5 hours emailing back and forth where I would show her like how it looked. We'd change it, show her. And then she's okay, I'm ready to move forward. I sent her the invoice and she paid it within 15 minutes.
See, Shannon, I hear you being like taking lessons from what I just listened to. I hear you being confident. Mm-hmm. I hear you being the guide, the expert, the professional. I hear you because most clients, like you said, they know what they want, but they don't know what they want. Right. And we need help making decisions. And we are all busy,
like that.
All distracted. And we need someone to hold us accountable and give us a deadline. And that's your personality. I think it probably comes natural to you to be helpful and confident. And I think that maybe sometimes when people are having a hard time, it's that they just want to be easygoing and whatever you want. And not that's a bad thing at all. But I'm trying to say that.
A perfect example is the classic. You see the memes about it. You see where it's like the husband and wife having to make the decision of what restaurant they're going to. And it's like the ongoing thing. Like you just make this, because especially for women, so many times we have decision fatigue. What's the kid going to eat? What are they having for snack? What are they wearing today? What this, that. And so it's one of those things that it's just like, when I hire someone, like if they were like, I don't know, whatever you want, I'm like, oh, because I don't know what I want. That gives me so much anxiety. I also like ebb and flow and I listen to clients' needs. And she is someone from the beginning by asking these questions where she's just, I don't know. I don't know what to wear. Can you help me with it? And I'm going back and forth with this. So I knew personality wise, she's very reserved and very sweet. Like she is such a sweet human being that I'm like, okay, she wants me to be like, you need these photos, get these. Mm-hmm. Okay. I like your face better in this one. Like I was literally doing that with her. And that's the thing, the clients trust me too, because I had 5 photos side by side where she's, I don't know. I love all of them. And I'm like, this one looks like this one. You don't need to buy both of them. Take this one out. And she's okay. So like really also being honest and being like, you can trust me. Like I'm going to help guide you on what's going to be the best. And so I think, again, when you have that trust with clients, they're more willing to spend that money with you because you're not trying to swindle them. And there's a balance. Like I'm pushing her, but I'm also pulling back where she needs me to pull back. And I think just really getting to know them on that level is what helps. Like I read her and I knew her personality and we're getting coffee next week. We have to hang out. And I'm like, absolutely. It's just like amazing that people want to be my friend after. I'm like, you're just paying me so much.
Coming from a sales background, I think that is definitely the key to sales. Like so many people are afraid of sales or they think sales is a bad word and it's not a bad word. They came to you. They want something you have to offer.
Yes.
But I think the biggest like sales tip I can give someone is it's just as effective to tell them what they don't want or need as what they do. Because as soon as you can say, I don't think you should do this. I think you should do this.
Yes.
Like, yes. That they're like, oh, they could have sold me this and this, but they didn't. Yep. They told me what they really thought. And if that comes from a genuine place of, I've gotten to know you, I see your taste, you like my aesthetic. And so I'm going to now take your hand and walk you through this process and help you make these decisions that obviously they can't make on their own. And that's why they came to you.
100%. Really, I mean, there was a wall gallery sitting right next to that one that I was going to make $2,500 more on. And I was like, I like this one better on your wall. Like the cheaper one, mm-hmm. that sheet was $17,000, but I was still like this, I like this one better. And so we worked with that. And she's mm-hmm. the one I posted in the group. I felt her out so much that I was like, you should paint your wall this color. I found you these air vents. I found you this bench. You should make this a sitting wall. And she was like, can you send me the links to those? I love those. And that's the thing, like knowing her that she wasn't going to get offended, but like full service. Like, this is the first art you're hanging in your room. You could totally design your room around this art. And you should, because you're a goddess. So yeah.
I can't afford you, Shannon, but would you come help me? I'll save for you. How about that?
I love you so much. You know I love you.
I need someone to come into my life and tell me what to do. And
oh, I'm so good at that. Ask my husband. Yeah, I'm the best.
It's easy. It's easy to do it for others. It's so hard to do it for ourselves.
Yeah, we have no photos up in our house. Just like you. We've lived here since 2020. I've got nothing.
Are you serious? I was just about to say that again, but I was too ashamed.
Yep. Nope, still don't have anything on the walls. Yep.
Or though, I think we're kindred spirits and you just don't know it. So for those of you that might not have heard my embarrassing confession, I'll say it again. I've built a custom home with a center hall with portrait lights down the center hall. And I have 13 years later, have no photos on my wall. And people walk into my home and are like, aren't you a photographer? You're this photographer we hear so much about. What? In fact, my baby's nursery, now he's 11, I bought these beautiful shabby chic frames, this whole collection on the wall, and they hung on the wall with the black and white photos that came in the pictures.
He's
in
like,
the
whose frame. Family is this?
And yes, and I just got used to it because they were pretty, and I just got used to it, but people would walk in, and it would take me a minute to realize they were looking, going, what the heck?
I'm dying.
Who are these people on the wall? But there's something about, I think, when you do it for a living, and what do they say? The cobbler's children have no shoes. And I'm sure all you listening, we preach, print your work, and you probably have, your home is full of beautiful photography, but mine is not. But it's just that I think my subconscious, because my whole life has been about photos for so long, my subconscious likes the white space.
That makes sense too, though. There's probably something to that.
It's restful, but there's just too many options. So I need you to just come do it for me.
I'll just come do it for you. Or you should just you could just hang art there instead. Sometimes that's the solution.
Right. We've already talked an hour. How about that? I appreciate you so much, and I am so thankful for you and for you for the fact that you always say yes, and you're just so giving in our community. And
fun.
I appreciate you.
It's so fun. I told you guys keep me inspired too, though. So it's a two-way street. I say yes to everything because it's just fun. And I love talking about it. It's so much fun.
Well, you're so smart. So good. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you, friend. We'll do it again.
Yay.
Yay. Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Motherhood Anthology Podcast. Until next week, head over to the Motherhood Anthology community on Facebook. There you'll find a few thousand photographers just like yourself that you can ask questions of and collaborate with. We'd love to have you there. So from our lens to yours, until next time, friends.